For the reading of Scripture, we turn to the Old Testament, to the second book of the Kings, the second chapter. 2 Kings chapter 2, reading the first 15 verses. Second Kings chapter 2 at verse 1, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' But Elijah said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' So he answered, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you.' Elisha said, 'Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so.' Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him." Thus far the reading of Scripture. Our text is this image of Elisha at the Jordan. Verse 14, "Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Thus far. Let us sing together Psalter 162, stanza 1 and 2. Congregation, what is it that you do when you face a new task? What is the best way to begin a new responsibility? What is it that you find the best way to approach a new avenue of life, a new stage in your career? Here we are about to enter a new month of this new year already. Here we are on the first day of a new week. Maybe you are about to enter a new stage of your life or of your schooling or of your career. A responsibility is waiting for you this week. And you don't know how to tackle it, how to get around the obstacles. What is the best way to approach such a responsibility? Really, we all have the calling to face serious responsibilities. If we have professed Christ, then we have the calling to live according to His anointing, as prophets, priests, and kings, reflecting His threefold office to profess His name rightly and to sacrifice ourselves as a living offering for Him and to fight against sin and Satan. That is a great responsibility. What is the best way to approach the responsibilities that face us? Well, we have an example in front of us that helps us and gives us direction as to how to begin a new responsibility, how to handle a task rightly. And let's look at Elisha on the bank of the Jordan, and we look at why he stops, what he says, and how he acts. As Elisha begins his ministry as prophet, what does he do first? Elisha stops. He stops in order to consider, to reflect. He stops having taken up the task, and yet he is not going to rush in. It is said, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. We do well also to stop. We read in verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Why? Well, he must have had a lot on his mind. After all, quite something had happened, especially that day as he walked with Elijah. Well, if we go further back, then we notice that in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, Elijah the prophet had been given, you know, after that juniper tree experience and that he had been in that cave, he was given the commission to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, as prophet. And it is that anointing that now is coming to its fruition. What had happened back then? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, we read that Elijah had simply, first of all, gone to Elisha, and he had thrown his mantle over Elisha, not saying very much at all, and then walking away. But Elisha knew what the symbolism meant. When the prophet's mantle is thrown over his shoulders, he knew he has been designated to be the next prophet in Israel. And immediately he sacrifices the two oxen, the yoke of oxen that he had been using to plow the field. And he sacrificed to those animals, and he shared the boiled meat with his relatives and friends, and he said farewell to them. It was much like the calling of the disciples who left their fishing nets to follow Jesus when he said, "Follow me." They left all to follow him. Well, in this case, what Elisha did was he left all in order to become, for a time, the appointed prophet, but a trainee, one who is called one of the sons of the prophet. He is like an apprentice prophet. And in this time, he is being taught how to detect, how to sense the word of the Lord, how to understand God's word. And Elijah, the Tishbite, now leaves. That is what he experiences. After having been told by Elijah to go, and he repeatedly insisted that he was going to follow him because he knew, as well as these other sons of the prophet, that day Elijah was going to be taken from him. His master was going to be taken from him. And how could Elisha abandon his master at such a time as this? And he is about to take up the task. There he stands by the Jordan. He has the mantle on his shoulder. How can he begin this task? Well, you say, he's got the mantle, doesn't he? Yes, but there's nothing magical about the prophet's coat. It's not enough. He tore his clothes when he saw his master go up to heaven. He had the office, but he needed more. He had the prophet's mantle, but he needed more. It was such a heavy responsibility. The prophet Elijah had manifested such strong faith. He was such an example of a man whose prayers avail much because he prayed with fervent prayer that it would not rain, and it did not rain. And he prayed again that it would rain, and it rained. There was such spiritual power manifested in Elijah that he could face the kings like King Ahab and declare to him the word of the Lord with such boldness and power. Elijah had stood up to the Baal prophets, and he had manifested such courage on Mount Carmel. How was Elisha now going to fill those big shoes of his master? He needed more than just the office and the mantle. Where is the God of Elijah? He says. And he had been conscious, you see, of his need. And along the way, he had been given this opportunity. Elijah had turned to him and said, "Ask whatever you want." What an opportunity. But with the wisdom of a Solomon, he asked the most important thing. And he asked, I pray, let a double portion of your spirit come upon me. Of course, that's not something that Elijah could really determine in himself. But with the insight and with the revelation of God upon him, he was able to say, if you see me when I'm taken, then it will be so. And notice, after the chariot takes Elijah up into heaven, notice what it says here in verse 12, and Elijah saw it. What a marvelous thing for him. Elisha stood now at the Jordan. Can you imagine the question that was on his mind? Was it true? Was the Spirit of God really upon him in a mighty way? Was the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of prophecy that was upon Elijah, also upon him? There he stood at the place where Joshua stood with Israel. And as the priests went into the Jordan River, the whole nation following, the Jordan parted. And Elijah had done this also with his mantle and struck the water, and the waters of the Jordan parted. Now here Elisha stood. Was it really so? Was the Lord going to be with him? Was the Lord going to be with him with his Holy Spirit and help him along in this ministry, in this responsibility? Do you have those moments when you stand still and you wonder in the beginning of a responsibility, is God going to be with me? Am I going to make it? Am I going to succeed in this particular responsibility? Am I going to be kept safe? Am I going to achieve these things to the honor and glory of God? Maybe you are contemplating the Lord's calling in your life in a very special way, that you are thinking about some aspect of ministry, of service. Maybe you are about to receive a child and about to become a parent. Maybe you are about to consider becoming a teacher or go into some new occupation. Whatever it is, do you have this question as you're standing in front of that responsibility? Where is the Lord? Is he with me? Well, now notice what he says. He needs this assurance, and so he makes this statement. It is a statement, as he is asking it in the form of a question, that really is a prayer. When he is asking, where is the God of Elijah? It is like the prayer of Moses, who said, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He sees how important it is to have the Lord with him. Do you understand how important that is too in your responsibility? In your responsibility as parents to teach your children, to train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Oh, the mantle is on you. It's no question you've got this little child in your arm. You have just been appointed as a parent. Congratulations. But you need more than just the position and relationship of parent. You need the Lord. You need his presence. You need his Spirit. Possibly you felt that as a brother who had just been installed in the office of elder or deacon, and you have this solemn calling to be one who is involved in the life of the church, to teach the members and to guide them and admonish them and encourage them, or to administer the ministry of mercy as a deacon in the name of Christ. Or you have been called upon to be a Sunday school teacher and you stood in front of that responsibility and it just seemed so great to you. Where is the God of Elijah? Has it been your prayer as well? Lord, be with me. I can't do this without thy presence, without thy spirit. And maybe as you were thinking about this responsibility and praying about this responsibility, you realize there are barriers. There are barriers of this kind or the other. You see, Elisha was on the other side of Jordan. He was on the eastern side of Jordan, and Israel was on the western side of Jordan. And so now he needed to cross that Jordan River. It was in front of him. And that river was symbolic of the barriers that he saw, the barrier of his own weakness, of his own failing, of his own sense of corruption in his heart. Do you sense that too? The barriers that are in front of you, that are between you and accomplishing the task to the honor and glory of God. And you think, how will those barriers ever be removed? How do I ever get across this Jordan of difficulty? Well, as you call upon the Lord, follow the example of Elisha. Where is the God of Elijah? Call upon him, but trust in him. Let it be a calling upon the Lord by which you entrust yourself to God as he is fully and freely offered in the gospel. Entrust yourself to him fully in all that you are and all that you have. You say, well, I try to do that. And I want to trust the Lord. And I do pray for his presence. But how do I know? You say, I want some assurance. Well, so did Elisha. And we see thirdly how he acts. What does he do in order to receive the assurance that the Lord is with him? Notice, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he had seen Elijah do this before. And so he wrapped that mantle together and he struck the water of the Jordan River. Now, not that there's anything magical in that in itself, but it is a symbol by which Elisha is appealing to the God of Elijah. For the sake of the authority of the prophetic office, because he knew that he was being watched, there were these 500 sons of the prophet who were watching. Are we going to take direction from this man as we took direction from Elijah? And so, as he struck the water, he did so calling upon the God of Elijah. Now, the name Elijah means my God is Jehovah. Elijah. My God is Jehovah. And so it was a way also by which not only did Elijah confess his faith, but Elisha here also was confessing his faith in the God of Elijah, in God Jehovah. If the God of Elijah is with us, the barriers will be removed. No Jordan of difficulty can be in our way or inhibit us from serving the Lord according to his will. All the barriers will surrender to the gracious purposes of Almighty God if the Lord is with us. Didn't the Apostle Paul say the same? If God be with us, who can be against us? And what a powerful comfort we have. And even more comfort than Elisha could appeal to. And that is, that there is one who is greater than Elijah, whose name we can appeal to. We may appeal to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the prophet of all prophets, upon whom the Spirit of God was poured without measure, and who has promised the New Testament church and every believer individually that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall receive the Spirit of the Lord. In these troubling times in which we are living, and in all the with all the barriers of difficulty that we may be facing in this week or in this year, we do need the assurance that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, is with us. The Lord is sending us forth into this world, and He is calling us to go into all the world and preach the gospel as a church. How are we going to go forward? Are we worried about our personal material provisions? Are we troubled about sickness and difficulty? Is there some special trial in our way? Well, remember the God of Elijah. Remember how the Lord provided in that time of famine when Elijah was hungry. Remember how Elijah also provided in a time of dire need through the Lord Jehovah. Are you concerned about one of your children? Remember the God of Elijah, who through the Lord and His power raised the widow's son. Is He not able to raise your child from spiritual deadness? Are you getting older and afraid of death? The Jordan of death is ahead of you, and you are wondering how you will cross. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has gone through the Jordan of death, even worse, He has gone through the deep ways of the torment of God's own wrath. And He has come out on the other side, and He has had the victory over the grave and over hell and over Satan. And we may call upon this name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we face these barriers of difficulty, that we may do so in hope. What happened in the case of Elisha? Well, we read in verse 14, and when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. What a wondrous sign that was for the prophet. What an encouragement it was for him that the Lord would actually do that, that He would actually cause the Jordan River to split and to divide so that he could cross over on dry ground. That the Lord would do that for Israel as a nation was a marvelous thing indeed. But that He would do it for the sake of His prophet singularly, what an encouragement. And if the Lord would do it for Elisha, would He not also be willing to encourage you and I? We face our difficulties. We face our impossibilities. But let us remember a greater than Elijah or Elisha is the one whom we may call upon. What an assurance we have. If God is with us, who can be against us? Yes, and it was true for Elisha, wasn't it? If you read on through this second book of Kings, you read of marvelous things that happened in the case of Elisha's ministry. He stood boldly in front of wicked kings as well. He also was given material provisions. He was also allowed to be a means to raise a widow's son from death. He was a means to heal Naaman the Syrian from his leprosy. What a marvelous thing it is that the Lord took Elijah away with this fiery chariot. But if you think that was great, you should read what happened in Elisha's case. Elijah went up in one chariot of fire. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13, we read that the king of Syria was so frustrated that Elisha was informing the king of Israel of all the various strategies of this king of Syria in trying to take over, that his servants told the king of Syria, "Elisha tells the king of Israel whatever you are saying in your bedroom." Imagine having that kind of frustration. So he sent a whole army to surround the city of Dothan where Elisha was, and with the intention of taking Elisha captive. And Elisha's servant, his own young apprentice, sees this and he says, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" Well, the young man didn't know what Elisha knew. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So the Lord was going to protect his servant and watch him. Where is the God of Elijah? He is mightily with Elisha. And if that was true for Elisha, surely in these days, when it wasn't just the king of Syria, but today is the ISIS organization with all the terrorizing that is going on, that is causing many in Christian churches to wonder, what are we going to do? Many in the West are wondering, what is going to happen? And yet there are other Christians in the world who are at the hands of direct persecution, who have the faith and the ability and the eyes to know, more are they that are with us than they that are with them. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who before he went up to heaven to take his place in the throne of heaven, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Behold, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." And what had he just said? "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." He is the Lord of hosts, and all the armies of heaven are his. Do we need to be discouraged? We have the God of Elijah, the God of Elisha. No, we have the triune God of our Lord Jesus Christ on our side. We need not fear, even when death is threatening us. We know when we stand at that Jordan River, Jesus has gone ahead, and the way will be opened, and heaven will be on the other side. Amen.